Okay, this evening, Lord willing, we're going to take a look at Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and I'm entitling the message from the words found in verse 5. Gracious is the Lord. All grace is from the Lord. Salvation by the grace of the Lord. Gracious is the Lord, and our God is righteous. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord is gracious. Our Lord is righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Our God delights to show mercy. He's gracious, He's righteous, and He's merciful. He's our God. He's our Savior. Our God is merciful. We're not left in the dark or in ignorance about the God of Holy Scripture. He's given this whole book to us to describe Himself. All 66 books. They tell us about who He is. The God of Scripture. God who is God. He plainly describes Himself unto us. God is holy. Turn over here to Psalm 99. Back a few pages. Psalm 99. I believe it is verse 1. Our God is holy. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. There's the sovereignty of God. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He's high above all people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You remember we studied in Revelation 4, which was and is to come. Lord God Almighty, He is the holy God. Also, God is love. God is love. No doubt about that. God is good. We've seen that in Scripture many times. God is light. God is true. Our God is merciful, almighty. Our God is sovereign, absolutely so, in all things. He's sovereign. Sovereign over all things. Whatsoever the Lord is pleased to do, that's what He does. He's sovereign in mercy. He's sovereign in salvation. Sovereign in creation. Sovereign in all things. And He is merciful. His mercy is sovereign mercy. Has to be, because it's of God. God is sovereign. Everything that comes from Him is sovereign. His love is sovereign. His grace is sovereign. His mercy is sovereign. We read in Micah 7:18 that God delights to show mercy. He delights in showing mercy. Look right across the page. We looked at this last week. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endures forever. We need everlasting salvation. We need everlasting mercy. It endures forever. God is sovereign in all of His ways. He will have mercy on whom He will. Our Lord said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Romans 9. But let us not forget, God will have mercy on whom He will, and He will be gracious to whom He will, and He'll pass by whom He will. The Lord passed by before men and proclaimed before Moses, the Lord God merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. That's His description of Himself. Our God is God. Beside Him there is no other God. Now this psalm, Psalm 116, has no title given to it. This psalm has no name put to it. It doesn't say it's a psalm of David or anyone else. Most think that David penned the words of this psalm. But we can be confident of this. Those words recorded in all the Word of God are words given by God to His people, and we read it as such. We receive them as such and believe them as such. I had a phone call some time back, and a person asked me, who wrote Psalm 119? I said, well, God did. He wrote all the Word of God, all Scriptures given of God. We receive this as the Word of truth, not as the Word of men. All the Scripture is given of God. Doesn't matter if we read in the Revelation or in the book of Genesis. All Scripture is given of God. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by God the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by God inspiration, and it's profitable. It is profitable unto us. There are two verses in Psalm 116 that are very well known. One of them is found in verse 10 that David writes here, but the Apostle Paul picks it up in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. I believe, therefore have I spoken, and I was greatly afflicted. You're going to believe, if you're a believer and a preacher of the gospel, you're going to preach what you believe, and what you believe is the truth. And we preach the truth, and it's the truth that sets sinners free. And the other well-known verse is verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I think every funeral that I have preached over the last 35 years or so, I probably have made reference to that verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, it breaks our heart to say goodbye to our dear loved ones, but we must always remember it's the will of the Lord, and it's good in His sight, and it's precious in His sight. Precious in His sight. We'll come back and look at verse 15 a little bit closer. As you look at this whole psalm, we look at this whole psalm and pray the Lord will be our teacher. And one of the things I've noticed in this psalm that's repeated several times, and I tried to point out to you in the reading, is calling upon the name of the Lord. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Look at verse 2. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. In verse 4, he mentions this again. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Again, in verse 13, he said, I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll take it. It's a free gift of God. I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Again, in verse 17, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. That's a call out of need. It's a call out of gratitude. It's calling upon God in the way of prayer. What a privilege. Think about it. God has given unto us. You figure how high and how holy and how sovereign and majestic is Almighty God. And yet He says to His children, call upon me and I'll answer thee. That ought to encourage us to call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to call. I'm going to keep on calling upon the name of the Lord. Now let's look at verse 1 and 2. I love the Lord. Well, that's a big statement, isn't it? David, if he is the writer of this, out of a heart of love and gratitude, we love the Lord only because He first loved us. David, a man after God's own heart, said, I love the Lord. Now, he's not bragging. This is not a boastful brag. It's just stating the sincere heart belief of every believer. This is our testimony. We do love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Believers do love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. One day faith will end in sight, hope will end in reality, but love, it'll just keep growing and growing and growing. We'll sing unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. You remember when the Lord and Peter had that conversation, and Peter finally said, Lord, you know all things. You know. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, really, do you love me? And Peter said, finally, Lord, you know all things. You know. You know that I love thee. Now, by nature, that's not true. By nature, we love darkness, not light. It's only by His grace that we love the Lord. And we do, as believers, we do love Him. Not as we should. Not as we will one day. But we do love Him because He has first loved us. And because He has first loved us, and because that love of God is shed abroad in our heart, we can say, not in a boastful way, but in a humble way, I love the Lord. I love His word. I love His way. I love His salvation. I love His redemption. I love everything about Him. To you who believe, He is precious. He's altogether lovely, lovely. And because we love Him, we love His people, His family, His elect. Because we love the Lord, because He heard the cry of our heart, therefore, what do? We call upon Him. We call upon Him. You know, this is the spontaneous will and act of a heart regenerated by the Spirit of God. We don't have to say, well, okay, it's 8:00 in the morning, now I'm going to call upon the Lord. And then say, well, okay, now it's 12:00, it's time to call upon the name of the Lord. It's not something that's regimented and scheduled. We as believers have a constant cry in our heart as unto the Lord, don't we? Continually. It says here, as long as I live, in my days, the days of faith, walking in faith, what do? We call upon the name of the Lord. We're mindful of Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. We do call upon the name of the Lord. Driving the car, working on the job, cooking in the kitchen, whatever it may be, we do call upon the name of the Lord at all times. And then he mentions verse 3 and verse 4. One of the reasons that we do call upon the Lord as long as we live, or the days of our life, the sorrows of death compass me. And the pains of the grave, that word hell there is grave. The pains of the grave, they found me. It's a marginal reference. They found me. And I found trouble and I found sorrow. Then, look at verse 4. Then, I called upon the name of the Lord. When you're in trouble, what do you do? What do little boys and girls do when they get in trouble? Mama! Daddy! They call upon the one who can help them. And that's what God's children do when they're surrounded with death. You know, death is all around us. It's in us. It's about us. We're all dying creatures. The hillsides in Kentucky are full of graveyards. Death all around us. The sorrows of death compass around me. The pains of the grave, they found me, and I found trouble, and I found sorrow. Then I called upon the Lord, the name of the Lord. You remember that name we read, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness. I beseech thee, O Lord, here's what we need, deliver my soul. Deliver my soul. Deliver me. The believer is not exempt from the realities of the trials of the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man mediator, is called in Scripture the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knew he was tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Man that's born of woman, few days and full of trouble. Haven't you found that to be so? Trouble, trouble, trouble. Our Lord said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, but in this world you shall have trouble. Ah, oh, he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. That's our hope. You see what he's saying there? Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And he has. He delivered us. We're going to see that statement again down through here somewhere, where he has delivered our soul. He's delivered us from the curse and condemnation of the law, hadn't he? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's being delivered from the curse of the law. What does the law demand of us? Perfection. What can we render unto the law? Nothing but guilt. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has delivered our soul from the guilt, from the bondage of the law, from the guilt of sin, from the condemnation of the law, from the guilt of sin, having put away our sin. He delivered us. That word redemption is deliver. In whom we have redemption, deliverance. I like that scripture over in Romans 11 where it says, the deliverer, capital D, the deliverer shall deliver all his people. He delivers all of them successfully. He is the redeemer who redeems, the savior who saves. Look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord. Now he saves us by his grace. Sovereign grace. God is gracious. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. David found the Lord to be gracious. We can say with the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The Lord is gracious. Gracious is the Lord. Our God is righteous. I love that scripture there in Romans 5 where it says, grace reigns through righteousness. Grace of God reigns through the righteousness established by the Lord Jesus Christ and freely imputed unto his people. Grace reigns through righteousness, that sovereign grace. Yea, he says, our God is merciful. You see, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. What's the difference between grace and mercy? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. That's a pretty good definition. Yea, our God, he is merciful. Look right across the page. Psalm 117. You see that short little psalm? Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Now, praise you the Lord. But God, God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, raised us up together, made us to sit together in the heavenly, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is merciful. Look at verse 6. The Lord preserveth. He preserveth the simple. Now, I'm simple. I'm a simple man. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low. He brought me low. He's nigh them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. You remember Psalm 34? The Lord preserveth. We are kept by the power of God. He saves us. When he saves us, he saves us with an everlasting salvation. The Lord preserveth the simple. That word simple, I looked it up, it means silly and foolish. Turn to Psalm 19. I've got this written down here. Psalm 19, verse 7. Let's see what that says. I like this. Psalm 19, verse 7. That's a good reference here on that verse. I believe it, yeah, it gives it there in the marginal reference. But look at Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He's our wisdom. He takes simple, ignorant, foolish sinners and give them the wisdom of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. He preserveth His people. They do persevere. They do persevere in faith, but we're kept by the power of God. He keeps us from falling and presents us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The Lord preserveth His people. I was brought low. He stripped me, and then He lifted me. He stripped me, and then He clothed me. He broke me, and then He healed me. He killed me, and then He gave me life. Now, verse 7, return. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, whenever I read about the rest, return unto thy rest, O my soul. My soul's been delivered. Now rest. Rest. Now, what verse do you think of when you think of rest? Remember? Matthew 11:28, our Lord said, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. And I, thinking about that scripture, don't turn, let me just read this to you. I was thinking about this scripture, about rest, and this scripture came to mind. In Hebrews 4, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us rest in Christ. You see, we don't, back under the law, God said 6 days you work and on the seventh you rest. There was a Sabbath rest in that law, but we don't observe a day of Sabbath rest. We look to Christ, who is our Sabbath, who is our rest. We rest in Him. We rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest, my soul. Now, watch this. The Lord hath dealt bountifully, wonderfully with me. And here's a reference. Turn to this one. I thought of this in Psalm 103. Look at verse 10. Psalm 103, verse 10. Where it says, the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Here's how he's dealt with us. Look at Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Oh, there it is again. Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. He's dealt with us in grace and mercy in our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't deal with us after our sin. He dealt with our substitute, being made sin for us. And He put away our sin as far as the east is from the west. That's the west, that's the east. That's a fur piece. Forever He put away our sin. So much so that He said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Now verse 8. Here again He says, Thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. That's deliverance. That's deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Our Lord said, I am He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And then He said, because I live, you shall live also. My eyes from tears. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21. He delivered my soul from death. The Lord Jesus Christ took our sin, took our death, and gives us His life. My eyes from tears and my feet from falling. He sets us in the narrow way upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't put us in quicksand or in a stumbling. He's not a stumbling block to us. He keeps us from falling. Jude 1:24, remember? He's able to keep them and present them faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy. Look at verse 9. I will, by His grace, walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In the land of the living. You remember Psalm 37, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I will walk before the Lord. There's nowhere you go, or where I go, or where any believer goes, that we don't walk with the Lord. It's a walk of faith. Seeing our feet have been delivered from falling and established on Christ the solid rock, therefore our desire is now to walk and live as unto the Lord. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. In the book of Colossians, we read, as you therefore receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in Him. Walk. That's our walk. That's the tenor of our life. The banner of our will. Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a walk of faith. Verse 10, I believed. Boy, that's a miracle. To say, as it says in verse 1, I love the Lord. And then verse 10, verse 9, I will walk before the Lord. Verse 10, I believed, therefore have I spoken, and I was greatly, greatly afflicted. We believe only by His power. What does it take to cause a believer to believe, to cause a sinner to believe the gospel? The power of God. We believe only according to the working of His mighty power. I believe by His grace, therefore I've spoken. What do we speak? And what's our testimony? Salvation of the Lord. I believe, therefore have I spoken. And if you take a bold stand for the gospel, uncompromising stand for the gospel, publicly, you'll have some affliction. You'll have some affliction. Therefore we speak. The Apostle Paul quotes this in 2 Corinthians 4. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. We preach what we believe. We really do preach what we believe. We believe salvation of the Lord. Salvation by God's sovereign grace. We believe that and that's what we preach. We preach the word of the Lord. Therefore we speak that we do know. What do we know? Salvation of the Lord. Remember 1 John 1:3 said, that which we've seen and heard and believe, we declare it unto you. We believe His word and with boldness of faith, we speak what He has said, regardless of the consequences of what someone may think, regardless of the afflictions that may come. You remember in the book of Acts how many times the apostles were arrested and beaten and commanded never to mention the name Jesus Christ anymore. And they left that council and went out publicly and privately preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we can't but speak the thing that we've heard and seen. He has said, so that we may boldly say. We don't preach to please men. We preach, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. I was greatly afflicted. I speak God's truth. And here's what He said. Verse 11. I said in my haste. And that word means quickly. He's not hastily or haphazardly saying that all men are sinners. But when we believe the truth and speak the truth, we have to say that to tell the truth about God. He's holy. We have to tell the truth about man. What? Just the opposite. He's a sinner. All men are liars. Oh, wait a minute. You mean I'm a liar? All men are liars. Does that offend you? What do we speak about men? All men are sinners. All men go forth from the womb speaking lies. All men, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 3, verse 4, it says, let God be true and every man a liar. Man, his best state is altogether vanity. What do we say? All men are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 12, what shall I render then unto the Lord? Seeing I'm a sinner, seeing I'm lost in Adam, dead in sin, guilty before God, He's made me to believe the gospel and to love the gospel. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His blessings unto me? All His blessings toward me? What shall I give? Everything. I will take, verse 13, I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. I will take the cup of blessing, the cup of salvation. Notice he says here that I'll take the cup. He doesn't say I'm going to work for the cup of salvation, or I'm going to merit the cup of salvation, or buy the cup of salvation. He said I'm going to take it. You know why we take it? Because it's a free gift of God. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll take the cup of salvation. It's the free gift of life. You remember over here, don't turn, let me see if I can find it for you. Over here in the Revelation, when the book closes, we're going to see this in our study. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you the things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Freely. It's a gift of God. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, I like that word, don't you? Freely give us all things. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His blessings to me? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. We have benefits. Everybody's looking for a job that has good benefits. And some jobs have more than others. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the best benefit package. All salvation now and glory forever. All grace now and glory forever. I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of mine enemies. He says that twice in verse 18. Look at verse 18. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people. His people. Now, I thought of this scripture. The story about Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? How he was on that ship running from God. And God sent a storm. God sent a fish and swallowed Jonah up. And he spent 3 days in that fish's belly. And he said, I'll pay, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay thy vowed salvation to the Lord. That's what we vow. And when Jonah vowed that vow, confessing salvation is all of God's grace, what did that fish do? Vomited him out on dry ground. Oh, I bet he was happy. I can imagine being in a fish's belly for 3 days. Wow. Let's skip verse 15 for just a minute and I'll come back to it. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I'm thy servant. I'm thy servant. A bond servant unto the Lord. A servant out of love. The son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Stand fast in liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. I'll offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We don't bring a blood sacrifice, but we do bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 19, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the Lord's city, I'll praise the Lord. Now look back at verse 15, and I'll let you go. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is a precious thing. You remember our Lord prayed in John 17, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Every time a believer dies, that prayer is answered. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Revelation 14 says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Why is death called precious? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They're redeemed with his precious blood. The apostle said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For I am in strait between two, having the desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. That's precious, isn't it? For believers to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Death to the believer is not punishment. It's not loss. It's promotion. It's promotion. You're just promoting me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now think about this. I thought about this. The death of a believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. But just think about this. Just think about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How precious was that in the sight of the Lord? Oh my. Talking about something totally different now. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How precious and powerful and prevailing that is. To satisfy all God's offended justice, to put away all our sin, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify the Father and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that is precious in his sight.